empty room, a voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
it's a rainy, cloudy day, and here we are, the Empty Room Podcast. Sort of uninspiring morning, but we're here. Scott here, along with Eric. Welcome.
Hello.
To the Empty Room Podcast, episode 46. We're going to give our mediocre effort to today's podcast.
I didn't know we were going full honesty. Okay. You can always try and keep that from our audience, but no, they'd probably be able to tell.
Well, maybe we get above medium. How about above medium? Let's go into that like semi-hard level, you know. Bring it almost to the top, but not exactly there, because it's a tough morning. Tough morning here. Actually, it's bled into the afternoon, and so let's start off. What's going on in the world today? There's a lot going on in the world today. A lot of crazy things that are about to happen in the week coming up that we learned about this past week. And the first one, I think the most obvious one, is that the President of the United States has nominated the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It is Amy Coney Barrett. She is a conservative judge, big family, and already the knives are out from the liberals saying that she is a racist and a cult leader. So I ask you, Eric, of course you can comment on the selection of Ms. Barrett and also the things that are being challenged about her, but also could you talk a little bit about how you feel about whenever somebody, because I've been thinking about this, whenever some choice is made, there's always these trolls that will go to the lowest common denominator to destroy.
Trolls, you mean Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, clearly, the left.
Democrats.
Democrats. Trolls in general.
Say the damn word.
Democrat there trolls. You go. In this instance, I mean, whenever they don't get what they want, there's a lot of whining and complaining, and usually it gets pretty vicious. What do you think about Ms. Coney Barrett and the pick?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about her. I've heard, like, the basics. I like what I've heard. Big family, including some adopted kids.
Two from Haiti.
Yes. Which makes her like just such a racist.
I couldn't believe it when I saw them talking about how this person, Barrett has ripped these two children from their culture. I mean, come on, give me a break. God forbid she loved these two children and are trying to help, you know?
Yeah. What can you expect from the left? I mean, it's just what they do. They have literally nothing else. None of their ideas are good. In fact, they're bad. And the fact is that they know that. And they know they're not going to win on ideas because they're just bad. Not only are they bad, they're actually bad at explaining their ideas.
Which is weird because they're mostly recycled ideas from the Soviet Union.
So not only are they just bad, they're idiots.
Well, I was considering writing an article about how it seems that all of this stuff is just high school. Getting information that's not true or very limited, getting everyone all amped up, creating sort of a pack mentality, trashing the person, trying to hurt them, and then realize later, maybe it wasn't exactly what we thought it was. It's like high school.
Oh, but yeah, there's that, except the way you put it, there's remorse at the end, and there is no remorse with these people. They're fucking evil sociopaths. I mean, that's what they are.
Some of them are, certainly.
All of them. Every single one of them.
Some of them. I'm not ready to jump in all. I still think that we can have...
God, does it hurt sitting on the fence? Does it get up the crack a little bit?
No. I just believe that not everyone is a hateful monster. I think there are plenty of people that are socially liberal and liberal in general that are good people that
believe
a certain thing different than we do, but not all of them are full-blown Chinese communists that are looking to put people in camps and stuff. I just don't believe that. So,
do the white pickets?
No.
Like really far up the butt.
Well, anyway, Miss Barrett, I think, is a good choice, and
I mean they're a little pointy.
So no.
They might do a little bit of stabby damage in your rectum.
Let's move on to the next thing. Spotify.
Okay.
Are you a Spotify guy?
No.
I'm not either. However, Spotify landed a big fish when they got Joe Rogan to switch over and be strictly on Spotify. Now, that doesn't mean his podcasts are not on other venues as well, but they're after the fact. So The opening won't be on Spotify, then a day will go by, and then it'll go on YouTube or whatever. But Spotify, and I guess their group of people that work there, are threatening to strike unless Rogan's podcasts are censored or removed. Mainly, one of the things that became alarming was that once he moved to Spotify, all his conservative guests were removed. They weren't. You couldn't find them in the archive. And everyone was like, "Hey, wait a minute. Why has this happened?" And Spotify had gotten lots of emails and messages from people going, "Hey, this is BS. You can't censor Joe Rogan." Put them all out there, and they were in the process of deciding how they were going to play this, and now their workforce is threatening to strike if they change their policy.
Oh, they're boned. They're absolutely boned. Yeah. I mean, they were going to let Joe Rogan do whatever he wanted, which was
what you should do. He's a money making.
Well, I mean,
machine.
Yeah, there's that, but I mean, that's the reason they brought him in the first place, because he is a money making machine, and the only reason, and I'm not a huge Joe Rogan fan. I'm not a fan. I'm kind of indifferent in certain ways. I think he's a terrible stand-up.
Yeah, but he's a good...
But he's a hell of a podcaster.
Yeah, well, you know who he is? He's the modern-day Don Imus.
Yeah.
Like, he's sort of right in the middle. He generally doesn't pick a side. He interviews people pretty well. He's tough and rough around the edges, and he doesn't suffer fools lightly. But he does do a good job interviewing.
I'm glad he got a little bit further away from the conspiracy stuff he used to do. Like he used to be a big moon conspiracy guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He used to
believe wholeheartedly that we didn't land on the moon.
Oh,
but he's gotten away from that. I think someone showed him, like, look, see.
Buzz Aldrin will punch him.
Yeah,
I've seen
Buzz
it
Aldrin. I don't care how old Buzz is. Buzz will be like, you know, 1,000 years old and be like, what is he?
I've seen videos of Buzz Aldrin punching people in the face.
Oh, I've seen like a bunch of astronauts. There's this one asshole that likes to go around and be like, when are you going to stop lying? When are you going to stop lying? And he got fucking clocked in the face by one of the people that walked on the moon.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I mean, Neil was too much of a gentleman, but Buzz
will knock you the fuck out.
Buzz will lay the wood to you. It doesn't matter how old he is.
But I'm glad he's gotten... I mean, he still does some stuff, but, like, the bigger conspiracy stuff, he kind of... The classics, I should say, of conspiracies, he kind of stays away from those because they've gotten a little hokey.
But he lets people talk, and I think it's one of the good things
about
him.
That's one of the good things about him. He'll let people talk, whether they're on the left or on the right or in the center or whatever. Yep.
Imus was great at that. Imus would let people go. That's one of the things I don't like about guys who do interviews in general in the past 20, 30 years. Like, I used to get so frustrated when someone would interview Robin Williams and they wouldn't let him talk. Like, well, just let him go. Like, just let him just do whatever.
I mean, that's why the best late night hosts ever, in my opinion, was Craig Ferguson.
Hmm.
Craig Ferguson, I mean, like, he did it as a ritual. He had the little cards that they give all the late night hosts to go through. As soon as he introduced them and they'd sit down and start the interview, he'd rip up the cards.
Yep.
And it would literally just be them talking. And, like, he had Robin on several times.
Right.
And he just let Robin go.
Yeah.
But he was almost as quick as Robin. So they were just bouncing back and forth,
Right. I can't tell you how many times I watched Robin Williams get interviewed by numerous different people. And, you know, we're Robin fans. We've talked about it before in recent podcasts and even long ago podcasts. But every time he was interviewed, it was like trying to leash him. They were trying to, like...
Well, I can kind of... When it comes to Robin, I can kind of understand it. Because if you don't do that...
He can take off.
He's off and running for 45 minutes, and your show is over. He's like, I have two more guests to bring out here. Can you shut up, please? I mean, it's hilarious. I'm dying laughing over here, but we have to actually take a commercial to pay for this shit. So I do understand it. I just think it's more of the format of Ferguson that I liked.
Yeah.
Where he just wanted to have a conversation. He didn't really give a shit about what was going on. I mean, he would, like, plug whatever they wanted to plug. But he would do that in, like, the first 30 seconds. Then he'd just be like, all right, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. And I think that's the way to do it. And Rogan does that well.
Mm-hmm.
And pivoting back to the main point, I think that it's well beyond time that these people that work for these companies that say they're going to strike when they don't get what they want, they need to be let go. Like, they need to be... I'm tired of... I mean, that's how I feel. Like, if you're going to be this way, I don't get what I want, so we're going to cause massive action to try to hurt the people or threaten them or intimidate them to do something.
Yeah, it's just...
Those people got to go.
It doesn't... I mean, especially in...
Don't pamper them.
Especially in the way... In terms of what they're doing. It's not like if they don't get what they want, their jobs will suffer.
Right.
It's not like, oh, you know, we don't get paid what we should get paid, or the work conditions are terrible.
That's what striking was for.
That's
when you were being really treated poorly by your employer.
Yeah. No, this is just, if you don't do what I want, then I have to be subjected to content, which they're not really being subjected to because they don't have to listen if they don't want to.
No. Have you heard about Bridget Phetasy?
I've never even heard that name.
All right. She is pretty interesting. She's sort of this ex drug addict who has a podcast. She's been on Rogan before, and she has a cool, she's kind of taken that middle market, not liberal, not conservative, just people right in the middle that are just like, why can't we be better than what we are? You know, why can't we just do something better than what's happening? So sometimes I'm like, dude, you're sort of off in liberal land. You need to come back. And sometimes she's uber conservative and she gets hell for it. But the reason I bring her up is she had a tweet the other day that says, we need to teach people that it's okay to just turn the channel off if you don't like what's on there. And that's it. You don't have to go into some movement. You don't have to strike. You don't have to...
Not everything is, you can just, not everything is protest worthy.
You can just turn it off and move on with your life.
Yeah. I don't like that this show is on at 8:05 instead of 8:15. I'm going on strike. Shut the fuck up.
Jesus. Snowflake, go away. That's how I feel. You know me. I'm usually... Out of us two, I'm the nicer guy.
You're the nicer, more middle of the road guy, where I'm just like drag them out in the street.
Right. No. And
beat them up.
Hit them with wet noodles.
Just beat them up a little bit.
Wet noodles.
No permanent damage. Just
wet noodles.
Shoot them. Shoot them in the
face. No.
Fire. Sorry.
Don't make me bring out the bunny again. We're trying to go bunnyless this time.
I don't want to see the bunny anymore.
Okay. So that's what we think about that. Moving on. There's a video of the opponent to Donald Trump, Joseph Biden. And now, I feel bad about this. There's a video out there with Biden. No, listen.
Why did I stop? Who's there? Who am I?
Biden is clearly, in some mental acuity issues. Like, there's some issues.
He has dementia. All
right. Clearly, there's something going on. But they brought out a video recently, within the last 2 years, where he's addressing the military, army men and women. And he's trying to make a joke. They don't laugh. And he says, come on, you stupid bastards, laugh. Now, watching the video a couple times, I think he's trying to be funny.
Yeah, and he's not good at it.
However, you know, you go out and you have this story about Trump saying awful things about people who have died in combat.
Yeah.
And it turns out not to be true. And then we have a video of him saying point blank,
come on, you stupid bastards.
Come on, you stupid bastards, laugh. See, I mean, just the hypocrisy is amazing.
The hypocrisy is amazing, but I also don't want to throw Joe under the bus as much as I want to, because I want to see him get hit by a bus.
No. We want
his suffering to end.
Well,
okay?
No, he needs to go to wonderful finishing point, maybe. I mean, he was a criminal, too.
What's happening to him right now is tantamount to elder abuse.
Yeah, but maybe he's getting what he deserved. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's become a millionaire, who might be linked to some horrible, horrible things, including stuff with his son, Hunter, who apparently was getting paid not only by the Chi-Coms, but also by Russian millionaires for...
Yeah,
who knows what?
I've heard some rather unsavory things, but the probability that Joe even remembers that at this point is slim to none.
Yeah, it's not great.
But it's just like, it's like that video that they trotted out a couple days ago where, you know, he says he got into office 180 years ago.
Right,
that's not his fault. And they're trying to, like, make some point out of it. It's like, he was making a joke.
Yeah, and that's...
It was a bad joke. It wasn't funny. He tried to chuckle at it. Even he couldn't chuckle at it.
Right.
And let it go.
And that's what he's doing here in this video, I think, too. Like, I think that's the reason I wrote it down. I don't want to blast him for it because he's... It clearly looks like he's trying to make a joke. The thing that bothered me is that there's this hypocritical situation where they're going after Trump for something he didn't say that has something to do with the military. And in the same vein...
When there is so much more evidence to the contrary... in terms of his feelings towards the military and veterans and all that sort of stuff, there's been so much more evidence of how much he loves the veterans and how much he cares about them and how much he loves our military and respects our military, that to come out with an unsubstantiated report that he said these things somehow, some way, and it's just like, no, I don't buy it.
And that leads us to our next point, which, again, is sensitive. We get it because a woman died. But the Breonna Taylor thing, where, you know, none of the cops were charged. And
one was.
Well, but he had nothing to do with...
It had nothing to do with the actual shooting of Breonna Taylor. He was charged with reckless endangerment,
because he fired, like, five shots into a different room or something.
Something like that.
But the thing about this case that has me bummed is... We never got the true story. I remember when this story broke, and I remember talking with one of my very conservative friends who was in the military, and we were both in agreeing that a no-knock warrant, barging in and firing away, which is what basically we thought happened, is wrong. They were out of line. Those cops need to go, you know, get arrested. They need to go through the trial, and they need to go serve jail time. That's how we thought, because with the information we got from everywhere we were looking, it was wrong. But as it turns out, there was a no-knock warrant, but they did knock. They did address, they did say something.
The way I heard it, or the way it was presented to me, is that they had a no-knock warrant up until about an hour before they were scheduled to go to the apartment or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was changed to not a no-knock warrant. And there's even the boyfriend says that there was knocking on the door. He does say that he didn't hear them announce who they were, but there are other witnesses in the area that said that they did announce who they were.
Right. And then the boyfriend fired first,
hit a cop in the leg, and they returned fire.
Yeah.
She was not asleep in her bed. She was standing by the boyfriend in the hallway,
right,
and she got killed.
Right.
Tragedy, yes. Racism, clearly not.
I didn't think so. And again, my point that I wanted to bring up was that how come this information is coming out now that's very different than what the media point... It turns out the media is shit. What the media provides is about stoking anger and causing issues. And it's... this one hit home for me because, again, I don't think we did a podcast about it. We never really talked about the Breonna Taylor thing. We were just sort of talking about where the country is and some of the racial tensions and what we think about that. We didn't really talk about that particular case, but I remember clear as day on a walk with my buddy talking about this and agreeing these cops were out of line. And now to know that the actual information is completely different or massively additive, that the whole theory on what has happened is totally different.
Yep.
And that stinks. That stinks. That means that the media is absolutely trying to make us hate each other.
Of course they are.
And it's, well, for me, it's the hammer on the head, the proof that I've always needed. And, well, I mean, we've always sort of suspected, but that one's really rough. That one's wrong. It's wrong in so many levels, and it makes me feel bad.
It's not like this is, I mean, I can understand needing that absolute proof to really say, like, okay, I get it now. This is what it is. But, I mean, they were touting that fucking hands up, don't shoot bullshit for months.
Right. And that's one that I guess when it happened, like, I waited. I did a smart thing. I actually didn't even think about it until more days had gone by and more information had come out. I think what bugs me about this one is that I had waited some days, got as much information as I could, talked to my buddy about it, and made a conclusion. And then to find out a month or two later, that the information is just, we didn't get all of it. We only got a partial, and it was to sort of create this hysteria. Like, that stinks. It makes me feel really pissed off and sad. Did she deserve to die? Absolutely not. We've gone over this. Didn't deserve to die, but the situation was a bad situation. Like, she's sort of a victim of the choices she made and the people that she wanted to hang out with.
She's a victim of the choices she made and that her boyfriend at that moment made.
Right.
If he hadn't have shot, then she'd probably still be alive.
I was going to say, maybe that's the other thing that bothers me too, is that with the initial information, I could totally understand discharging a firearm.
Sure.
If I'm in my house with my family.
If it's no knock on the door, just suddenly the door is kicked in and they don't say that they're cops, of course.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. You and I both are Second Amendment guys. We both have firearms. Like, if that happens, they barge in, they're getting a bullet for me. I mean, because I'm going to defend my family and my house and my property. And so that's the other part that gets me sort of upset, because I totally get if that was what happened, but that's not what happened. And we have this movement of anarchists who are ruining cities based on a lot of this stuff, and it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And the other thing too, to keep adding on, there's people that believe this, people that I genuinely like that believe this story as is, mm-hmm. and think it's crazy and want vengeance. And it's like, whoa, look at the facts. So it's troubling times out there, man.
Even if you present them with the facts, they're not going to believe it.
Troubling times. To continue on the bummer route.
Yeah, I know.
Gale Sayers passed away, the wonderful football player for the Chicago Bears at 77. He was also played by Lando Calrissian. What's his real name?
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams in. In that wonderful football tale, Brian's Song, which was based off Gale's life and his buddy Brian, I forget the last name, but basically he had a degenerative disease, died early, played for the Bears, I believe. And Gale Sayers was incredible as a running back, probably would have made the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame anyway, but probably would have made it on his own merit, but he got hurt early. So that was one, I remember that being some sort of a sticking point. He made the Hall of Fame, but he only played for like 4 years. But the amount of work he did in 4 years was unbelievable. So anyway, sad to see a big deal guy pass away, 77. Breaking news that happened today. Joe Montana and his wife fought off an intruder who were trying to steal his granddaughter.
Really?
Really, really. I checked it today. Okay. Apparently, they were hanging out with the granddaughter, and some woman came in through an unlocked door, snatched the infant. Joe and his wife turned and wrestled it away from her, and she fled the scene. So Joe Montana, another heroic effort, as he's done so many, many times before.
He didn't spike the baby.
No, he did not. No. He another heroic effort by Joe Montana, one of the greatest football players to ever play. Arguably the greatest quarterback.
No, not arguably.
Arguably.
No.
A lot of people think Joe was better than Tom Brady.
No,
all I'm saying.
He's not.
All I'm saying, arguably.
That argument has been settled. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay.
No. Joe Montana is number two. There's no problem.
There's always a problem being the number two.
With being number two.
There's always a problem being the number two. It's a little.
Well, I'm sorry, Joe. You're not the greatest quarterback that ever played anymore.
I remember Tom Brady.
You did a hell of a job, defending your grandbaby.
I don't remember Tom Brady ever saving anybody. Tom Brady has never actually saved a soul. He's only thrown touchdowns and won big games. And
well, Joe didn't do that either until today.
Well, I mean, there you go. It pushes him
up. Tom's got the rest of his life to save lives.
It pushes him up.
I would put it to you, sir, that just because Tom exists,
he saved lives and is
an inspiration to so many people.
So many.
That he has saved lives.
So many.
And doesn't even know it.
Maybe. I don't know. This whole thing reminds me of one of the greatest radio stories I've ever heard. and I'm going to try to say it right. Okay, back in the 90s to early 2000s, the Red Sox flirted with a shortstop named Edgar Renteria. Edgar Renteria was a shortstop, and I guess had a lot of issues catching the ball, and they ended up trading him away. So, they traded him, and who was the next shortstop? It was, what's his face?
I just said his name. Is it Nomar?
Nomar, yes. Nomar Garciaparra.
Nomar!
Who becomes the next shortstop. So, there's a story out that some kid was swimming near the harbor or wherever in Boston.
And he saw Nomar?
And he started to drown. And Nomar Garciaparra got in there and saved the kid.
Yeah, Nomar, it's my Nomar.
So the radio guy was like, thankfully Edgar Renteria was there. It slipped through his hands. It was a very funny...
Well, it just slipped right through his fingers. Yeah. But luckily,
Nomar was there. Sure-handed Nomar was there and saved that child's life. And hopefully he has gone on to wonderful things because Nomar saved him. And the last part...
Unfortunately, he threw the kid...
into the bus.
On a one-hop to first base.
I like to think that Nomar threw
a
stroke.
The kid broke his pelvis.
And lastly...
Nomar.
The South Korean president, has declared that the Korean War is over and that he looks forward to denuclearization with the North Koreans and a permanent peace settlement between them. Now, my question to you, Eric, do you think anyone has asked Kim Jong-un about this? And will he respond?
I still don't even know if the guy's alive. Is he alive?
Well, there's been two instances over the past 4 months where they've thought that Kim Jong-un was in a coma.
Well, yeah, because first he just disappeared, and then people started to think he was dead. And then he came out for a day, and then he was gone again, and then the last thing I heard is he was, like, brain dead.
Right, and all of those things were incorrect, because all those times he was actually found... in an area of North Korea he claimed called Paradise City, where he was with 100 different ladies of harems for him to play with.
Ugh.
So he is alive and well. He's apparently very viral,
or
whatever. And
he's probably very, very viral.
Viral and viral at the same time. And I don't know if anyone has let him know that.
I just want to punch the guy in the face.
But
in any case, has anyone told him? They better hope so.
Or not. Or maybe they don't tell him on purpose because you get a one-way ticket to your ass tied to a rocket.
Well, I mean, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. It's like if you do tell him and he's not happy about it...
You become pink mist.
Yes. But if you don't tell him and he finds out about it...
Your family becomes pink mist. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how long that's going to hold. But kudos to the Korean War. Hopefully it's over.
Yay, Korean War!
And we're,
good job, war!
Hopefully it's over and they can begin the peace process and go from there. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me. So my question to you, beginning this wonderful Pope Watch this week, is how many cardinals could a pope whack if a pope could whack a bunch of cardinals?
All of them.
You think so?
He's the pope.
Even if they rose up against him? We have an interesting story here. I can't wait to share it with you. About the Pope deciding to take out a cardinal.
Like a human cardinal or is it a bird?
No, a human cardinal.
Okay.
And apparently the cardinal...
I think it'd be okay with it if it was the bird.
The cardinal was pretty surprised from what I heard. So
I would be too if the Pope just showed up and put a 357 to my head.
Well, I don't know if he'd kill them, but he definitely...
What do you think take him out means?
Well, it means make him resign, leave the Vatican.
Yeah, because that's really what it means. That's the only thing people think of when someone says, I took him out.
Look, all I'm saying was I was trying to make a woodchuck chuck joke, and you're taking it too far.
You're a dismal failure. Too far.
Anyway, here we go, the Pope Watch. Let's start off with some tweets. Apparently, the Pope was really highly interactive with the United Nations this week.
Oh, good.
I know, the United Nations, which is...
A useless Pope talking to a useless organization.
I always love Jim Quinn's description of the UN. It's like the bar scene from Star Wars. And it's a bunch of really scum and villainy running shows and pretending to be interested in the peace of the world. So, the Pope talked about how... And I'm going to paraphrase here because there's a whole bunch of tweets. But, of course, there was, we have to deal with climate change. We have to deal with, we have to denuclearize nuclear weapons all over for big countries and all that fun stuff. And then the one that really hit home was that personal weapons should not be allowed because it causes people to live in fear.
Blow it out your ass, fatty.
And we disagree with that. We're the exact opposite. We believe everybody should be armed. It's their Second Amendment right here in the United States. In the world, they don't have a Second Amendment, so I don't know how that all plays. But in here, firearm owners tend to be the most lawful owners in the United States, and it stops the bad guys who do have guns because they don't want to deal with it. So I think the Pope is wrong there, and I think he should stay out of our affairs. Because clearly he does not know what it is to be an American.
No, he does not. Nor would I want him to. Fucking fatty.
All right. It's second thing.
Stuff pizza in your face.
No. Everything. It's, everyone needs to... let's see here. Everyone needs to unite together to redress the damage done by human abuse on the earth.
What, does he want us to recycle more?
I don't know. He seems to be sort of a one-trick pony these days. He's talking a lot about, you know, the earth and
don't use so much toilet paper. Fuck are you talking about?
The denuclearization, which is fun to say, and I've probably failed every time I've tried to say it.
Probably.
That's a new one. I mean, we haven't talked about nuclear war in a long time.
Yeah,
but
that's since the 80s.
That's sort of on his list lately. Maybe that's just a normal United Nations topic.
Seriously since the 80s.
But he definitely has always been on the environmental kick. That's sort of his thing. And
God, he's got nothing else going.
Apparently not.
I mean, seriously, God isn't enough for you? Not busy with that one? Maybe you should kind of stick to what you're good at. And you're not even good at it.
He's definitely not what I had hoped. And not that I matter, but when I thought about the new changeover and some of the things that could have been addressed, maybe priests marrying, maybe stop being so horrible on the gay community, maybe, you know.
How about stop diddling kids?
Leaving the kids alone, maybe?
I think that's priority number one. I don't give a shit if priests marry.
That's what I mean. I thought those were all things that could change. Let's let priests marry. Let's not worry about the gay community.
But that's not high on the priority list.
Yeah. I mean, everyone can be great lovers and understanders and fellowshippers of God. It doesn't matter what your sexuality is. Who cares? Let's worry about the big things.
On that one, apparently God might care.
Yeah, but if we all have original sin anyway, who gives a frig? God's going to...
Well, no, the
God's going to forgive anyway.
The crucifixion was to wipe out original sin.
Well.
To wipe out original sin and all sin, actually.
Yeah. Point of the story is, I think if God cares about all the people, it doesn't matter their sexuality. You know,
apparently.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, I'm just saying, according to certain passages in the Bible, God might have a little of an issue.
but Hey, look. I think we're all built in the image of God, and it doesn't matter. That's how I think. That's what I think.
I mean, it's just like, hey, I personally don't have an issue, but There are certain passages.
No.
Certain passages in the Bible.
It can be.
Where God may.
It can be interpreted differently.
May? Actually, no. There's no may about it. There's no interpretation. It's pretty word for word. He has an issue.
I think God is. I don't know.
Now, can God change his mind? Sure, he's God. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Right.
But.
I'm not going down this path.
Those words kind of etch themselves into some sort of gospel passage in the Bible.
Let's go back.
I'm not done yet. Until those words are etched in the Bible somewhere in like a new Psalm chapter or maybe Revelations chapter whatever.
90.
Until then.
It appears. I disagree.
That God may.
I disagree. I think we are all God's children, and He loves all of us.
No.
And I think
there's nothing in there of what I just said that didn't say that we aren't all God's children.
True.
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm moving on. So how do you feel? This is the one main story. This is the one main story in the Pope Watch that I think is interesting.
Okay.
So this guy, let me get out my notes here so I can find the thingy and say it the correct way. Okay, so this guy, Cardinal Beucci.
Richelieu?
No, I don't know. Beucci. I'm going to go with Beucci. If it's said incorrectly, I apologize.
Did you see?
No, it's really rough. You can't even see it. So
spell it.
B-E... Some weird sign. Yeah.
Can you not read your own writing?
Yes. So, Beucci. Now, Mr. Beucci, who is the cardinal that we're talking about.
What's it coming to go?
Okay, he is in charge of saint making. Okay,
is this Pope trying to install a new cardinal of saint making so that when he finally goes, he gets himself made a saint?
I don't know, saint of pizza. I don't know.
Little shit.
No, I'm not saying that. Listen. So Beucci was the head of saint making. He is the head of the committee of the cardinals that get together and they get saints. Possible saints, and they talk it out, and then they bring it.
Did they talk it out with the saints themselves?
No, they discuss the qualifications of sainthood and who has reached that and who hasn't, and they put it all together, and then
Francis is going for saint.
So
that motherfucker going for sainthood.
So,
that little bitch.
So Beucci here, and again, if I'm saying it's wrong, I apologize, but Beucci here,
Bocci,
just sacked by the Pope. Francis alerted him recently, I want to say 2 days ago or a day ago, that his services are no longer needed and he needs to leave the Vatican. Because the Pope has had apparently some proof that Beucci was taking money from the Vatican, was doing the old money laundering trick, embezzlement. And now he has to go. Now, when they interviewed Beucci, Beucci appeared surprised that this was happening. And he said, and I quote, I'm not going to quote, I'm going to paraphrase. And I paraphrase.
Fair enough.
Thought we were good. We thought we were good friends, the Pope and I. And I'm very shocked to hear of this situation.
Oh, he's going for sainthood.
So I don't know what's going on.
Unbelievable. The guy wants to make himself a saint.
I don't know what's going on.
What a shit.
Is that I would suspect that Cardinal Beucci, who has been in the situation as the head of the saint crew for many, many years, I don't know, like... I guess someone who was guilty could say the same thing. I thought we were good. I don't know what's going on here. You know,
I gave him his cut.
Yeah.
I thought we were good.
So I don't know.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. It just stinks. It stinks of some jackass who has been trying to make himself look good by like, you know, climbing onto like, oh, the environment, oh, climate change, oh, blah, 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 blah. He's trying to make himself a saint. That little shithead.
Well, I mean, let's wait a couple days. I mean, this is the proper thing to do. Let's wait and see how it smooths out.
Obviously, we'll see how it goes along. Yeah. My initial reaction to this is Pope Francis is trying to install someone else who's going to clear the way for him to get sainthood after he buys it, because he's an arrogant little prick.
Well, I mean, I guess that could be it, but somewhere the truth is lingering, and maybe we'll find out.
The guy might be dirty. The cardinal guy might be dirty as sin, and fine.
He's got to go.
But you know, right now, my first instinct is Francis is being a little shit.
I'm gonna be a saint. So when the ridiculous comes to town, Eric and I take on these stories and take a good sober look at it and see what we think.
And sometimes a sharp dump.
Oof. Well, some of these smell pretty bad, so let's see what we can come up with. The first one. Let me see. Bring out my notes again. Let's see here.
You're so professional.
Well, the problem was that as I made this podcast this week, I sort of tried a different format because I was going to do something midweek, but it fell through. So now all my notes are different than they usually are. Mm. And it's hard to sort of keep things where they need to be. I guess the first one is sort of the ridiculous, only because I don't understand why it's a big deal. NASA plans to land first woman on the moon in 2024.
Well, that was the thing Trump wanted to do.
Right. But at the same point, we already have women in the space station. We already have women doing all sorts of things. Why is this a big deal?
I think it's just the image of it. I mean, we haven't gone to the moon since, 1970?
It's been a while.
So it's been 30 years, 30 some odd years or
right
somewhere around there. And it's all been men. Not that that fucking matters at all.
Right.
But I think it's just the optics of it. Hmm. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like him saying, we're also going to put, people on Mars.
Yeah, he wants to go to Mars.
And, which I think is the better thing to focus on. But the idea that kick the ladies to the moon, it'll be all right.
I don't know if I want to go that far. My point was that
I don't really mean it that way, but that's a joke. But
it's just another thing to plant your flag on.
So yeah, yeah. And there's no reason. I don't see a reason not to do it.
Right. In other news, New York, Seattle, and Portland were named anarchist jurisdictions, which means that the police are either unable or unwilling to provide law and order, and that's going to lead to some help from the government, which it's going to mean funds taken away from those cities from the federal government, and it also opens up the opportunity for the feds to come in and start cleaning house if they need to. I just think that's a ridiculous story because I can't believe we're there. I can't believe these major cities.
I can't believe it didn't happen sooner.
True, but I can't believe these major cities of the United States of America are now considered anarchist jurisdictions. That's insane. Absolutely insane. Beyond ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Like I said, I actually can't believe it didn't happen sooner. New York surprises me a little bit. I thought that would kind of, honestly, I thought de Blasio would fold. But he's fucking doubling down.
He's holding on.
And that's going to be his downfall, or at least it should. But, I mean, Portland's been an anarchist city for years. So is Seattle. That doesn't surprise me. Just go in and wipe them all out. Not kill them. Just go in there and
establish order.
Establish order.
But nothing's going to happen until the election, so just going to have to hold tight. So someone,
he should do it now. If he does it now, he wins election night.
I think it's the exact opposite. I think he's going to wait till he wins.
The entire country is tired of this shit.
I agree.
The entire country is tired of this shit.
But he does not want to be seen as an authoritarian. He wants it to be known that those cities are run by Democrats who have failed their constituents. And when he's told them, ask me to help, and they've said no, it's on them. He does not want to do that until the election is won, and he doesn't have to worry about that nonsense.
I think it would go the way of, I offered my help, they said no, they cannot control their own cities, people are dying, I'm going to protect the American people.
Right. So, we'll see what happens. Moving on, Alyssa Milano, she is a wonderful person of interest when it comes to the defund the police people. She really thinks that all the police should be defunded. And then the other week she called the police to help because there apparently was somebody in a forest near her that had a rifle. Turns out it was just a kid killing squirrels with an air gun, but the police did arrive, and it just helps with the hypocrisy of defunding the police, but not when you need them. We are very pro-blue here at the Empty Room Podcast, and we don't believe that's the way to go.
Is a see you next Tuesday.
Okay.
She is. Don't even okay that. She is absolutely one of those.
So, in Florida.
Cunt.
In Florida. In Florida. Bloomberg,
he's paying fines.
LeBron James.
Fuck LeBron James.
Are asking Florida voters if they know any convicted felons so LeBron and Bloomberg can pay their fines so they can vote.
This seems Florida has a dumbass law that if, you know, you're a felon and you haven't paid your fines, that means you can't vote. But if you do pay your fines, that means you can vote. It's like, no.
This seems illegal.
Felons.
This seems
fuck them.
This seems illegal to me. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. Let's moving on. Let's keep this party going.
Are you talking about Pennsylvania?
Not yet. The Chargers. The San Diego. Are they even San Diego anymore?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles Chargers. They started a guy named Hebert last week, and this week, Hebert's going to get the start again. Do you know why Hebert started last week? He's a rookie. Do you know why?
I don't know. He sucked off the coach?
No! Come on, Aaron. That's rough.
Hey.
No, it's even worse.
All right.
It's even worse.
Hey. If you're going to go to, if you don't like their lifestyle, then maybe
listen,
more compassion.
Listen. So, Tyrod Taylor was initially going to start for the Chargers. However, he was getting an injection to help with an injury, and the doc accidentally punctured his lung.
Ooh.
So, that's incredible.
Yeah, way to go, Doc.
Oof.
Tough way. Yeah, it's just a little injection. I can't breathe.
So, here's another good one. So, the Vietnam police have taken over an outfit and confiscated 345,000 used condoms that were cleaned and resold.
Oof.
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
That's rough. That is, it's awful.
God, why do we even...
That's awful.
Just, why are they even considered countries anymore? Screw these people. Ah, they're just awful.
And there's a wonderful video, just to continue on with the disgusting aspect, there's a wonderful video of Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi.
Banging?
No, God no. Nancy Pelosi is about to take over the microphone after a speech from Jerry Nadler. And Jerry Nadler clearly looks like he has shat his pants. And he just kind of shimmies off and tries to... It is awful looking. Like, if you catch that video, it's just like, oh, come on. That is just... Oh, God.
I wonder if they caught it on video, like the look on his face when it actually happened.
Well, yeah, because he kind of gives that left... That lean, you know, like he's got
the lean, and the lean, and then the oop,
and then he kind of shimmies off. Nancy comes on. You can tell Nancy smells something. She's got, you know, she's got that look of like, oh, come on, really? And then she starts to give her speech, and Nadler just sort of standing there, but every like 10 seconds tries to take an inch closer off the screen. You clearly shot a spec.
At this time, I will hand you over to Nancy Pelosi. She will make her speech. I must go take care of government business. I have...
The affairs of state. Affairs of state.
I have shat my pants, so I'm going to leave you now. I apologize for the smell. I did, in fact, poop myself. Those aren't just my morals that stink.
So, lastly...
My guts just came right out.
But, well, lastly, we're going to finish this up. This is a fast ridiculous. Do you remember those videos that we talked about a while back about the robot dogs from...
Sure.
Yeah. Well, one of them was seen on a neighborhood street just walking by. And it's going, and everyone's like, oh, look at that. And it turns. Someone has a video camera out. So they're filming it as it's just walking by. Okay? It's walking by in a neighborhood. It's just on a street. There's nobody else around except for these people who are walking somewhere themselves. And they got the phone on, and the thing walks to him, and oh, look at that. And one guy's like, oh, it's so cute. And it turns and looks at him, and it takes their picture and then runs away.
God, is this a COVID thing?
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I mean, yes, there's that. My first instinct would have just shoot it. Just
fucking kill shoot with, it. Kill with fire.
Kill it. Kill with fire.
Kill with fire.
Just take a shotgun and just mow it down.
The fact that it takes a picture of the person.
There's been talk about stuff like that where it's like if due to this COVID that, you know, they're going to have like those little flying drones, and if you're out and about, they'll take a picture.
Yeah.
And kind of like you're like, you know, that sort of shit. I don't know if this is one of those things or if this was the start of the...
Apocalypse. The start of the apocalypse.
The robot apocalypse. It could be either.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one I would like most.
Well, it turns out...
Actually, personally, I would like the robot apocalypse more.
It turns out that in late June, that these robot dogs were actually put on the market for private sale.
Oh, okay.
So
this one didn't turn on its handler.
So you could buy one for $74,000. That's what they cost. So it could be
some
just
rich asshole
running around with a robot dog.
Clip clop, clip clop, click. Some rich asshole being a fucking perv.
Oh gosh.
So the robot, listen to me, it was my dog. Shut the fuck up.
The robot apocalypse is here. That's where I'm going with. And
that's because of some rich dick.
Definitely arm yourself and
shoot on sight.
And just
shoot
those things on sight. Disconnect your Google accounts because Skynet is here and it's time. And now listen to this. All right, Eric, it's time for the Tweeter of the Week thing. Twitter, Tweeter, whatever it's called.
You know what it's time for? A Twitter is a cesspool. Twitter is run by communists. Twitter is a cesspool.
Twitter.
Fuck it. It's fucking Twitter. Fuck Twitter.
Anyway, the
And you too, Jack.
The Tweet of the Week is from Jim Murray. Jim Murray said just today, scumbag Red Sox announcing that they're sacking Roenick, the head coach, the skipper, the manager, during Patriots game is peak scumbag Red Sox. And I agree, the Red Sox are scumbags.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of done with all of that.
They're pretty scummy, yeah.
All right, that's it, folks. That's what we got. Have a good night, everybody, and check us out at theemptyroompodcast.com and feel free to email us at emptyroompodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.